What do you feel like doing tonight?
I don't know, Ange. What do you feel like doing?
Oh, what do you feel like doing tonight?
I don't know, Ange. What do you feel like doing?
We're back to that, huh? I say to you, what do you feel like doing tonight? And you say back to me, I don't know, what do you feel like doing tonight? Then we wind up sitting around your house with a couple of cans of beer watching a hit parade on television.
Let's go to movies.
Director!
This is a frightened city.
Wait for it! Director! Cut!
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for a new film talk show, Film Sociology, with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Soze!
No, that's Matthew Soze.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever, yes.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Soze.
Hello, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, working the board, the vice president of the Room Fan Club for the Indianapolis branch, that's Melissa Davis.
Hello.
Hello. Been sitting in with us for a good chunk of the show today. It's been a while since we've had her in studio. But the film sociology kids film correspondent and my daughter, Emma Soce.
Hello.
How you doing, sweetie?
Good.
Good. Well, we got a busy show. Well, we always have a busy show. Cause there's lots to talk about because there's lots of movies out there. And just to let you folks know what's opening in Indianapolis this weekend, first off, the Clint Eastwood-directed Morgan Freeman-Matt Damon drama Invictus about Nelson Mandela and rugby. And also opening, wow, I'm shocked that we got this and that we got it as, well, before the end of the year. But the new Lars von Trier film, Antichrist, with Willem Dafoe. No children allowed at that one. So don't even think of bringing your toddler to a movie your toddler has no business being at. They won't let you in because it's at a certain place on the north side that I love very much. And also opening in theaters, and this was the big one in the Soce house, the new Disney animated feature, and it's their first hand-drawn feature in about 5 years, The Princess and the Frog.
Woo!
For the record, that was Emma. So, honey, why don't you, Emma, sorry, kids film correspondent, why don't you tell the folks a little bit about what the movie is about?
Well, it starts out with Tiana, the princess, and her friend, who I don't remember her name.
Symbolic.
And Tiana's mom is reading the story of the princess and the frog to both of them. So, when Tiana's mom finishes reading the story, the friend says she would do anything to marry a prince. On the other hand, Tiana says she would never kiss a frog, ever. In her whole life. And then later on in the story, when she grows up, she kisses a frog. And like what it said in the trailer, most people don't know what actually happened after the kiss.
Ah. But in this case, we get a whole story, right?
Yep.
And a couple of notes, obviously. This Tiana, princess, finally, in 2009, Disney's first African-American princess. And Emma makes the the hands in the air. I can lift your whole. What is that? What
is raising the roof.
Is that raising?
That's
raising
the roof,
it's
man.
It's
really?
Raising the roof.
1995.
Wow. Do you remember that far back?
Yeah.
14 years ago?
Yep. I have memories of raising the roof at parties.
I forgot it was called. Caroline Ray had another name for it. It was I can lift your. Your butt is that big,
oh.
or something like that. So that's anyway, crazy. Yeah, I know. But the film is also set in New Orleans. Well, way pre-Katrina New Orleans, more like 20th century New Orleans. So do we have a audio sample? Let's give a listen.
So what now? I reckon y'all want a kiss?
Kissing would be nice, yes?
I'm sorry. I did not mean to scare you. Wait, no. Wait, hold on. You have a very strong arm, princess.
Okay, please, put
the monkey down.
Stay back, or I'll...
Please.
Oh, well. Allow me to introduce myself. I... and Prince Neville.
I'm Maldonia.
Prince, but I didn't wish for any... Hold on. If you're the prince, then who was that waltzing with Lottie on the dance floor?
All I know is 1 minute I am a prince, charming and handsome, cutting a rug, and then the next thing I know, I'm tripping over these.
Wait.
Wait! I know the story! The Fragi Brutto!
The frog prince?
Yes! My mother had these servants! Read this to me every night! Yes! This is exactly the answer! You must kiss me.
Excuse me?
You will enjoy. I guarantee. All women enjoy the kiss of Prince Naveen. Come, we pack her. That's new.
Look, I'm sorry. I'd really like to help you, but I just do not kiss frogs.
Wait a second, but on the balcony, you asked me.
I didn't expect y'all to answer.
Oh, but you must kiss me. Look, besides being unbelievably handsome, okay, I also happen to come from a fabulously wealthy family. Surely I could offer you some type of reward, a wish I could grant, perhaps. Yes?
Just one kiss.
Just one. Unless you beg for more.
That much different. But how'd you get way up there? And how'd I get way down here and all this?
And there you go. And by the way, for the record, somebody was acting out the scene.
Every woman has many sides.
Right. We know that.
What was that?
It's
the end of a trailer.
It's Melissa and her women issues put up on the radio.
Yeah.
And for the record, I know this is going to shock my beloved producer, but one of the voices in this film... playing Tiana's mom, the Big O.
Oprah.
And she's good in it. So
really?
There. Yes.
You know, she can act.
She can. Oh, there's. I've never questioned that. You know, what she does with her power, that's another discussion for another time. But Terrence Howard is also in this briefly. He is the voice of the father. Everyone's favorite Ken Burns narrator, Keith David, is in this as the villain. I always love Keith David. You, Emma, knows him as the kitty cat from Coraline.
Kitty.
Thank you, Boo. And And, of course, a lot of great music. John Goodman, of course, is Big Daddy, not the character from Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. That would be an animated movie worth watching if Disney did Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. Emma, your hand is raised. I will get to you in a moment. But as I said, the film is set in early 20th century New Orleans. So there's a lot of hand-drawn, looks really good. And it's nice to see. And this is not a slight on the computer-animated stuff because there's some particularly strong films this year in the animation department, which we'll get to in a little bit. It's got a very special place for me because there's a lot of references to jazz and the music from New Orleans. You hear Dr. John, Terrence Blanchard his music is featured on this. And so there's a pretty good variety. Still looking for the soundtrack. Now, the kids' film correspondent had her hand up, and because who cares what the old guy thinks of the princess movie? Emma, how did you like The Princess and the Frog?
Well, I was going to say something about Oprah.
What about, what about Oprah, Emma?
On Wizards of Waverly Place, they mentioned that name.
That's good.
Yeah,
because she probably owns the show.
Not really.
No?
No.
Not yet. Okay, so Emma, your review of Princess and the Frog, please.
I think it was really good.
And what made it really good?
Well, I like that it is serious and yet entertaining, aka funny, at the same time.
Okay, were you scared at all with the movie?
Not really.
Not really?
No.
Okay. And what made it entertaining? What made it fun for you?
I really like that it was pretty much a musical.
Yes, there were some musical numbers in this. The voice of the princess, and as I'm getting my notes frantically, Anika Noni, who I don't know.
I don't know.
You don't even know who she is?
No.
You're old.
Uh-huh.
And Emma, you don't know? Maybe you're too young.
I don't know that many names.
I know. Okay, all right. That's cool. And what were some of the characters? You obviously like the princess because you are all about princesses.
Tiana.
It's quite good. And you were jotting notes down because I love the fact that you couldn't remember her friend's name, which is kind of symbolic, and that's fine.
Yeah. Then I heard it in the commercial.
And her name is?
Lottie.
Or as Emma once referred to, the white girl, which was very funny, by the way. And so you like the look of it? You recognize the story?
Yeah.
Cool. And there's a certain dessert I think you now want to have more of. Do you remember what they were called?
No.
Beignets?
Yeah, beignets.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And what's that? I need to know more about that.
Oh, my gosh. It's a wonderful New Orleans dessert. It's basically very light, very fluffy, flour and powdered sugar and honey.
Yeah.
And beignets are a New Orleans staple.
Oh.
So. Yes. And my other concern with the film, my only concern with it was because I have such a emotional attachment to the city of New Orleans, probably because of the Blue Show, but was the treatment of the villain, who's known as the Shadow Man, who also practices voodoo and makes deals with the dark arts as far as that. There's a whole plot about making the prince into a frog and making somebody else into the prince and blah, 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 blah. I was concerned if they were going to mock or make voodoo an evil thing. Mm-hmm. And I think it's more the character more than the concept. And then there is a firefly who is Cajun. And I think we are still recovering from the damage that, Adam Sandler did a decade ago for the Cajun community.
Ray.
That's Ray, correct. And he actually fares a lot better. So, and by the way, happy Hanukkah. I don't need to hear his song, Mr. Sandler's song, for the next 8 days. Sorry.
Why are we talking about Hanukkah?
Because Hanukkah started yesterday.
Yeah.
Yes. So,
a crazy night.
Mazel tov. Were you the one who saw that? No. Nobody saw that.
Why are you hating on Adam Sandler?
I'm not hating on Adam Sandler. I'm hating on early Adam Sandler.
The best Adam Sandler.
I'm sorry, what was that one Adam Sandler movie where he screams and sings off key? All of them?
Can I get back to Princess and the Frog, please?
In just a moment, honey. This is how this program goes.
Billy Madison rules and rocks. It's so much fun. It's funny. It's fun and it's funny.
Okay.
There's nothing about it besides just laughing.
You can have that. I will keep Punch Drunk Love and Spanglish and, yeah, yes, even funny people.
All right.
Okay. So anyway, you had other comments about Princess and the Frog? Emma, the movie, the subjects go fast and furious here, yeah. So what else?
I can't think of anything.
Okay, but obviously you're recommending it.
Yeah.
You want people to see it in theaters.
Yes.
And I got a feeling when it comes out on DVD, I'll be buying it.
Yes!
Okay, well, I guess we have two responses. First, Melissa, we'll play my response to Princess and the Frog.
Now that was a good movie!
And then Emma's response for Princess and the Frog. That sums it up right. It's been, as I said before, it's been a really, really good year for animation. Last night, my fellow film critics and I met over dinner. Yes, we do this. And we were discussing our awards. No, we will not tell you until maybe next week. But we talked about how strong the animated category is. Of course, this year, the Academy Awards are actually putting in 5 nominees for Best Animated Feature. And if I had a ballot, and I'm still waiting for mine, Up, Ponyo, Fantastic Mr. Fox, Coraline, and, gosh, I would probably maybe throw in Monsters vs. Aliens. And there was also, of course, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. There was, what?
You didn't see Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
I did not. I'm mentioning the other films that are out this year. 9, not the musical, but the other kids won, and of course, Princess and the Frog.
I still want to see 9.
The musical or the animated feature?
The kids won.
All right. Just checking. It's also coming out on DVD soon. Don't sweat it. So, speaking of kid-friendly and other kid-friendly, we have a couple of notes of other films that are going on around town. Of course, you can email me at msoci@wfyi.org. Tonight, if you don't have any plans, at the Art Craft Theater on Main Street in downtown Franklin, as part of their classic movie series, tonight at 7:30 p.m., White Christmas.
Oh.
Bing Crosby, Rosemary Clooney, and you're scrunching your nose at Rosemary Clooney or Bing Crosby?
Well, okay, not individually. I just, that movie's old and stuff.
Will you stop acting younger than you actually are?
No, but really, it's too much. It's starting to get to be, it's like too much Christmas stuff already. Like, we're already there where I'm just like maxed out on the Christmas. But I know that a lot of people can't get enough, so have fun at the movie.
Is this the same person that made fun of me because I didn't like Ralphie and his little air gun?
Well, that's the best part of Christmas. But
oh, really?
Just maxed out on all the sentimental, I don't know, yeah, but people love it, so I get it. So they should go and enjoy.
Yes, they should.
Yes.
You don't see White Christmas on 24 hours straight on TNT.
Which is what's wrong with this country.
I have a question about you two.
Oh, no. What?
Are you too sure that you're not siblings?
Ah, that's good. My other running gag is, well, you know, we're married, but not to each other, so to speak. So, I know we sound like a couple of whats. I don't know, but no, we're not siblings. We just act like it because that would make me the really older brother, the Charlie Brown to her Sally.
Just like you're the really older brother to me.
That's what your mother says. Okay. Also tonight at 7 o'clock at the Center for Inquiry, Indiana, on the Canal Walk, movie and discussion about education in China called 2 Million Minutes. And mark your calendars, folks. Next Wednesday the 16th, and then next Thursday the 17th, and you'll have to go to. I think all the venues are AMC Castleton Square 14, Kerasotes Showplace 16. United Artists Galaxy 14 and Hamilton 16 IMAX in Noblesville. They are showing Riff Tracks Live, cartoon short, the Christmas shorts extravaganza. Now, Riff. Thank you, Emma. Riff Tracks, of course, is 3 of the gentlemen from Mystery Science Theater 3000. And it's same concept, without the robots and no silhouette. Mm-hmm. And, of course, this time they're going to be doing a series of Christmas shorts with special guest Weird Al.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Where is this again?
This is going at Castleton Square 14, Carousel Showplace 16, Galaxy 14, Hamilton 16 IMAX.
Oh, cool.
So they're going to be showing. Tickets are $12.50. It's worth it. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun. That's going on Wednesday night. And then I believe there is a rebroadcast and encore presentation next Thursday. And Emma and I, the last Riff Track show we went to, which was Plan 9 from Outer Space, I am proud to say my 8-year-old has seen Ed Wood. The films of Ed Wood, not the Ed Wood biopic. That's, we're going to save that for much, much later. So anyway, a lot of fun. I've always had a special place in my heart for Mr. Science Theater and its related related groups. So anyway, this is my high recommendation for Riff Tracks, the live Christmas shorts extravaganza.
Yes, 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 yes.
And I wouldn't have it any other way. All right, we are going to take a short break. We are going to go into the DVD store and talk about some of the new films and some of the old films that are on DVD. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org.
Naptown is nowhere near as sleepy as it sounds.
I say fooey to those who say there's nothing to do in Indianapolis, and we bring it to you on the IndianapolisMusic.net podcast every week. It's a feature of our top 10 shows, as voted on by music journalists across the city, and our on-track artist, featuring a local recording each and every week right here on the IndianapolisMusic.net podcast and WFYI HD2 Thursdays at 4 p.m.
Are either one of these any good? Sir?
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know what I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store!
And the video store is open. Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. And it's also available as a podcast. So if you missed this or you want to hear it again, chime in, say, Monday afternoon, and you can enjoy this. Melissa Davis working the board. Emma Sosi, the kids film correspondent here at Film Sociology. We're going to adjust the segment in just a little bit. Well, actually, we're going to adjust it now, Melissa, giving you a heads up. Since we talked about Riff Tracks before the break, we will talk about not what's new on DVD. Well, it's new on DVD, but it's old movies on DVD. As if Riff Tracks wasn't enough. Also out on DVD, and I picked it up courtesy of Shout Factory, Mystery Science Theater 3000, Volume 16.
Yep, that just keeps going.
It does keep going. Well, there's 10
more. Are there more to go?
Oh, heavens, yes.
Oh, okay.
No. Let's think about it. 16, four films in each box set. It's 16, so it's 80. Oh, wait, 40. 16.
So this could go on seemingly forever. Years and years.
There was 10 years of shows, 16 box sets times four. That's 64. So mm-hmm. They've just kind of scratched the surface.
Just getting there.
Because there's so many different eras. Joel era, Mike era, Comedy Central, sci-fi.
Yeah.
And this year, this current edition includes The Corpse Vanishes, Warrior of the Lost World, Night of the Blood Beast, and a film which is appropriate for this time of year, and Emma and I watched it yesterday. Which one was it, Emma?
Santa Claus!
Now, this is not to be confused with Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, which was, of course, Pia Zadora's first film.
I like that one.
Yeah, I like that one, too. We'll be watching that probably next week. But this is the really bad Mexican movie where Santa Claus fights the devil.
Wow.
And as we find out, the devil wears red pantaloons and prances around, causing mischief. So,
la cucaracha, la cucaracha, la 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 la.
Does he say that?
No, but there's a scene where Santa has all the helpers from the world, all over the world to help out. And seriously, he plays an organ, a pipe organ, and different countries and continents. And when it comes to Africa, they're all wearing loincloths.
Oh, goodness.
And when it comes to Germany, no, they're not all wearing lederhosen. But when it's Central America and Mexico, they're all wearing sombreros.
Oh, goodness.
And when it comes to the United States, they have no rhythm, as Mr. Science Theater said. And when it gets to Asia, yes, they're all wearing silk and their feet are bound and broken. No, I'm just, you get the idea on this. Yeah, and the reindeer are not real. They're kind of store mannequins that laugh, and, you know, that's nightmare-inducing if there ever was one. So, yeah, perfect for this time of year. I'm happy to say that my only child loves Mystery Science Theater. So we had fun watching Santa Claus, right?
Can I say I really like this movie in Spanish?
Great. No, you cannot say that.
Please.
Well, you just did.
No, not in Spanish.
Okay, go ahead.
A mí me gusta esta película mucho.
Cool.
That means I really like this movie a lot.
And you like the Mr. Science Theater guys, gang, right? See? So what are... Emma, I want to bring this... I'm not putting words in your mouth. You actually said this to me, but you said you like watching these movies. And I said to you, with the guys or without? And you actually said that they were good films even without the guys, right?
Yep.
Which is interesting. So what are some of your favorite Mystery Science Theater movies that you've watched?
Santa Claus, of course.
Of course.
Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.
Of course.
Basically all the Santa ones.
Both of them.
Well, the Women of Wongo.
Well, that's the film group, but it's the same group. But yes, so that's fine. Keep going.
Let's see.
May I help?
I've seen many.
I know. You said you really liked Hobgoblins.
Yeah. Hobgoblins, Plan 9.
And the other fun thing, this is a great sign of parenting. She also saw the bad early 80s Canadian hard rock version, movie called Zombie Nightmare, with Leif Garrett.
Oh, my.
And Adam West.
Did you like that one, Emma?
Oh, yeah, I really like that.
And what's fun is Emma knows Adam West from that movie and Family Guy.
Wow.
Nothing else.
No.
Yeah, what else do you know him as?
Fairly Odd Parents.
Oh, and Fairly Odd Parents. But not for his bread, well, his original bread and butter, which is a sign of very strange.
What is that?
Don't worry about it. So anyway, I think this is our response to Volume 16, and please keep them coming, gang. This is my response to Volume 16 of Mystery Science Theater 3000 on DVD.
Yes!
Okay.
You should really make a girl version of that, please.
You know what? When some girls act... Well, there's one actress I can think of that says yes several times in a row.
Me?
No, Meg Ryan. But I don't feel like playing that here.
No.
See, and Melissa won't let me if I wanted to, and that's really okay. And by the way, I'll have what she's having.
Oh, boy.
I know.
What are you guys talking about?
Movies. Keep up. There is one other film Emma needs to talk about because she's very excited that this is on DVD. But it is new on DVD this week, the biopic comedy Julie and Julia. But this stars Meryl Streep as Julia Child, and it stars Amy Adams as Julie, the woman who writes a blog and is going to cook all of the recipes in 1 year that was in Julia Child's first cookbook. So also along for the ride, Stanley Tucci, Jane Lynch, and lots of good recipes. And it's co-written and directed by Nora Ephron, speaking of which, who did When Harry Met... No, she did not. Did she write When Harry Met Sally? I know Rob Reiner directed it.
Mm-hmm.
That's really okay. Boy, you don't know your late 80s romantic comedies? What's up?
I was busy being in fifth grade.
That's a very busy time. So.
Right.
Second.
I know. And here's a clip.
I'm Julia Child. Bon appetit.
Before she changed the world, Julia Child was just an American living in France.
Shouldn't I find something to do?
What is it that you really like to do?
Eat.
And we are so good at it.
Look at you.
Now,
growing in front of you.
But what does Julia Child have to do with me, lowly cubicle worker Julie Powell?
So how's your job, Julie?
Are you the person to speak to about my insurance form?
You can speak to me.
Do you have any power?
No.
Heartbreak.
So sad. Painful.
Not in a bad way.
I don't know. Do you think I'm lost? Is this lost? If you met me, would you think that woman is lost?
I would think that woman is strangely repetitive.
Did you hear what happened to this one?
Showtime bought my blog for a miniseries.
I could write a blog. I have thoughts.
Write a blog about cooking.
I'm not a real cook like Julia Child.
Julia Child wasn't always Julia Child.
Why don't I go to cooking school?
Bonjour! The Julie / Julia Project. I cook my way through Julia Child's cookbook. 365 days, 524 recipes. I am risking my well-being for a deranged assignment.
Is it crazy?
Yes.
You should have seen the way those men looked at me.
But then they discovered I was fearless.
Oh, Julia, you make it sound so simple.
Your book is going to change the world.
What if I don't make my deadline? I'll waste a whole year of my life? I used to be thin and now I'm fat.
Just your face.
It's supposed to be a big adventure, but it just turns out to be a lot of meltdowns.
Yeah! There's all of this scum on the floor!
Oh, never apologize.
From writer-director Nora Ephron.
This is good.
That is good, isn't it?
Meryl Streep, Amy Adams.
I was drowning and she pulled me out of the ocean.
Don't get carried away.
What's for dinner?
What's for dinner?
Mm. Oh my God. You have no real talent for cooking.
Julie and Julia, based on two true stories.
Well, despite that, it's not a cismance film, Melissa. It's not a, you know, it's not the bromance for ladies, but Emma.
Yeah.
You enjoyed this movie?
Yes.
What did you like about it? I was surprised that you liked it as much as you did. But what did you like about it?
I like that it's talking about two ladies who are both going through some tough things.
Okay. I think, if I remember right, you like the cooking parts,
yes.
Right? Especially with the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
I know when it got to more serious issues like their marriages and other issues.
I started wiggling, yes.
Which is okay. It's all right. As we've learned, and this was actually the first case of it, you can like something and still say, well, I wish it was a little shorter.
Yeah, it was too long for me.
Okay.
That was kind of the consensus, though, wasn't it, that it was a little too long?
Well, yeah, and we had chatted about this last night. A lot of people, and I'm in the minority on this one, everybody loved the Julia section. Everybody loves Meryl Streep in this, and a lot of people did not like the Julie Powell portion, the Amy Adams portion. And my argument was, yes, and a lot of people were demanding that there just be a Julia Child film. The problem is, and to use a line from my buddy Laura, who once said, I don't like biopics because they're movies about people. And what she says is, it follows the same biopic format. And I like the fact that we have two parallel stories, and some people will say it's a stretch. I didn't mind the fact that it was a stretch. This was the connection that these two people had, albeit one way, but I actually didn't mind both versions. You know, obviously, Streep put in the stronger performance, and it's not that competition. I mean, nobody plays naivete like Miss Adams, like Amy Adams, as we all know, between Doubt and Enchanted and Junebug.
I like Enchanted.
I know you liked Enchanted. That was your first introduction to Amy Adams.
She's really cool.
She is. Emma, leave the court alone. Yes, I'm a host and a father. So, but I thought she was fine. She has a lot of physical shtick that she gets to do. Of course, Emma, and we all learned how not to boil lobsters, thanks
yes.
to Julie Powell.
Can I say what happened
for
those who didn't see it?
And spoil it for them?
Just with the lobsters.
All right, go ahead and tell the lobster scene.
Okay, with the lobster scene, she brings home a few lobsters. And I remember first in their car, they had the lobsters in a sack. And they heard that the lobsters fall on the side of it in the trunk. So they stopped, went back there and made sure none of the lobsters fell out of there. But it did come undone the top part, so they tied it back. And when they got home, Julie. Okay, Julie. Mm-hmm. I get their names confused.
That's okay, honey. Keep going.
She puts the lobster in the pot, and 1 minute it's fine, and then the next minute, you know, the lid pops off, and there's lobsters trying to crawl out.
Sounds like a Mr. Science Theater movie.
And now you know, never put 3 lobsters in a boiling
pot
at the same time.
Yeah. I love lobster, but I don't think I could eat 3 at one sitting, so probably not the thing. That being said, I know you wish it was a little shorter. I didn't mind the length. I enjoyed both stories. Obviously Streep is getting a lot of praise, and she's probably picking out gowns to wear for the awards season. I'm really hoping that there's some recognition for Stanley Tucci, who is really wonderful as the husband. He's the spouse. And to use the line from my wife, the spouse has to do a lot of hand-wringing. But if it's really well-done hand-wringing, it's a lot of fun. And Tucci and Streep bounce off each other very well. Jane Lynch is in this as well for you fans of Glee. She's got a couple of nice scenes. So, and yes, the food is really fun to watch. So, overall, a lot of fun, an excellent performance in a pretty good film.
Now, that was a good movie!
And speaking of good movies, which will hopefully get another life on DVD, the new crime drama from director Michael Mann, who's given us, most of his films have been crime dramas, Manhunter, Heat. Of course, he developed Miami Vice, the series, made Miami Vice the movie, and many others. Ali wasn't a crime film, but, you know, he did go to jail. Anyway, it's the film Public Enemies with Johnny Depp, Marion Cotillard, and Christian Bale and Billy Crudup. So here we go.
What is it exactly you do for a living?
John Dillon robbed banks.
That's a serious thing to say to a girl you just met.
I like baseball, movies, good clothes, fast cars, and you. What else you need to know?
Today, I am declaring United States of America's first war on crime.
Your task will be to get John Dillinger. Are you up to that task, Agent Purvis?
Absolutely, sir.
We are pursuing part of the killers.
Play a game, Mr. President. It's called Spin the Dial.
That's your money, mister?
Yes.
We're here for the bank's money, not yours. Put it away.
The whole country thinks you're a damn hero.
We're robbing banks is getting tougher.
We're having too good a time today. We ain't even thinking about tomorrow.
Yeah, well, you ought to.
Johnny!
Put some clothes on, miss.
They're extraditing you.
Where to?
Indiana.
Why?
I have absolutely nothing I want to do in Indiana.
Johnny, how long did it take you to go through a bank?
About 1 minute, 40 seconds. Flat.
Well, he's a man who killed pretty boy Floyd.
The only way that you would leave a jail cell is when we take you out to execute you.
Well, we'll see about that.
John Dillinger has given us a second chance to get John Dillinger.
He could be anywhere.
Where are you going?
Anywhere I'm off.
We're too good for him. They ain't tough enough, smart enough, or fast enough. I hit any bank I want anytime. They got to be at every bank all the time.
We can get out of here all together.
You want to take that ride with me?
Yeah, I want to take that ride with you.
All alone, all alone, all alone.
You ain't going nowhere. You hear me? I'm gonna die an old man in your arms. We're too good for them. They ain't tough enough, smart enough, or fast enough. I hit any bank I want anytime. They got to be at every bank. All the time. That's why we're on top of the world. Ain't nobody make love on us. No. I ain't going nowhere. Neither are you. What do you got to say about that?
Now, part of this film, of course, was shot in Indiana. Yes, everybody laughed when Johnny Depp said, I have absolutely no reason to go to Indiana. Some of it was shot in Crown Point. A lot of other parts of it were shot up in Lake County, if I remember correctly. And I was surprised the film didn't do as well when it opened. I think it lost money in the United States. But you have to be really bad in order to lose money nowadays, because if it doesn't happen here in the United States, it goes to Europe or it goes to Asia. And if it doesn't make all the money there, it will hopefully make up for it on DVD. Tough year for Universal, because they had this. They had Land of the Lost, which didn't do well. Actually, Bruno was their biggest hit for the summer, and it was kind of a surprise.
Bruno.
Yeah, Bruno! And you have to make the hand gesture, because you don't want to do the other one.
Oh.
But what was interesting about it, and just when you think, Michael Mann, who does most of his films, have been crime dramas, and he was able to at least find a new wrinkle on this one. The performances across the board are very solid. Nice seeing Marion Cotillard. This was her follow-up after her Oscar-winning performance in La Vie en Rose. And, of course, in a couple of weeks, you will see her in the musical of Nine. But Depp's good. Crudup's good. Bale's good. A lot of smaller roles Casey Zemeckis and Lily Sobieski show up. And I think part of it was that they just wanted to do a film with Michael Mann. The look of it was really cool. The fact that you have a digital film. It was shot on a digital camera and handheld, and it's a period piece. So, and a lot of grays. It was a very distinctly gray-looking film, which is probably appropriate because of the Dillinger character. I don't think he's glorified in this one. I don't think he's been glorified compared to other films. And by the way, speaking of other films, I highly recommend, if you find it, Dillinger, which was the biopic from 1973 with Warren Oates and Cloris Leachman, who was the Lady in Red, and a very young Richard Dreyfuss as Babyface Nelson. That being said, hopefully people will check it out a little bit more. The only issue I had with it was the last 20 minutes of the film, and I hope I'm not really giving anything away, but it does turn into what I call the passion of the gangster. It becomes slow, it slows down. They drag out the ending a little bit. It's almost, the only thing missing was a crucifix, I think, as far as the immortality of Mr. Dillinger. So, but other than that, still well worth checking, well worth buying, especially if you have a Blu-ray player. So this is what I thought of Public Enemies.
Now that was a good movie.
It was, and it was shot here in Indiana. Support it. All right. Also, my goodness, it's now, I think that, yeah, I don't know Raise the Roof, but I do know this film is also known as HP6. Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, and what the kids are, 30 now? And, I think it's their junior year?
Mm.
Does Hogwarts have the freshman, sophomore, junior, senior
class
system? You're not a Potter?
No.
No?
No.
You remember the Onion headline, J.K. Rowling quits Harry Potter series after discovering boys?
Nice.
And of course, we haven't said it in a whole week. We're not vampires, we're gods. Gosh. Well, this time around, Harry finds a book that involves, guess who? The Half-Blood Prince. And, well, I'll let you give it a little bit of a listen.
This place has known magic. Very dark. Very powerful.
Times like these, dark times, it can bring people together.
Take my hand.
They can tear them apart.
These girls, they're gonna kill me.
kill me, Harry.
This year, Voldemort has chosen Draco Malfoy for a mission.
Evil will pass through from their world into our own.
These are mad times we live in, mad!
And the darkest hour,
beyond anything I imagine,
is upon us all.
In my life, I've seen things that are truly horrific. Now I know you will see worse.
You're the chosen one, Harry.
You have to realize who you are.
Without you, we leave the fate of our world to chance. You have no choice. You must not fail. It's over.
Warner Brothers Pictures.
Okay, well, I will say this about the Potter series, and I've seen all six, and after, and I'll be honest, because I'm getting old, I turn 40 next week.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, 40th birthday party, Blues House Party, Saturday night, December 19th, starting at 8 o'clock. That being said, the Harry Potter films have always been consistently good to very good. I will give it that. Yes, even the first two directed by Chris Columbus, but I like the fact that they've gone the last few films with just different directors with different visions, which is fine. What I still like about Half-Blood Prince, even though I think if once you figure out the identity of said character, personally for me, the film couldn't end fast enough, but, you know, these films are always 2 hours plus. I still enjoy the relationship with the students, the character. Yes, I'm being very academic, and the characters as opposed to all the mumbo-jumbo and Ralph Fiennes without a face and all that sort of thing. Jim Broadbent is the new British actor who gets involved with the series. He plays an aging professor who's brought back to Hogwarts. And I it's fun seeing everybody back, especially Alan Rickman and Julie Walters and Michael Gambon, still filling in for the late, great Richard Harris and Maggie Smith and everybody like that. So it's fun seeing everybody. You know, kids aren't quite long in the tooth just yet. There's going to be two more films. I know they're taking the last book, and they're making it into two films. How Peter Jackson of you. So this is probably what's called the stepping stone film. Very similar to Dark Knight when it comes to it leaves you with a strong enough ending, but you also know you're it's not over by a long shot. So anyway, enjoyed it. I know some people enjoyed it a lot more than I do, and that's okay, which is fine. I don't have a cloak, and I wear glasses, but not like Daniel Radcliffe. And no, I've not seen Daniel Radcliffe do Equus, and neither of you. And Melissa doesn't want to either. That's probably
I'll skip
okay.
That.
Yeah, it's okay. Anyway, so here we are on HP6.
Now that was a good movie.
Okay, a couple other DVD notes before we take a short break and talk about sports films after the break. The Criterion Collection. Oh, by the way, my birthday is next week. Send all gifts to 1630 North Meridian Street. Thank you. But AK100, 25 films of Akira Kurosawa, one of my favorite directors. Of course, Blu-ray next week. That'll be fun. The documentary The Cove, which was about the environmentalist trying to stop whale poaching.
Hmm.
So in Japan. The Coraline gift set on Blu-ray. If you owned it, I would buy Coraline on Blu-ray. Absolutely. Really enjoyed that. The Brigitte Bardot Classic Collection. I would. Well, and for different reasons why you would.
Yeah.
And that's really all right. Let's see. What else we have there? Yes, of course, we mentioned Harry. Yes, there's a Harry Potter Blu-ray years 1 through 6 gift set.
Mm.
No, thank you. Yeah. But, you know, if you send it to me, I'll applicant. Johnny Mercer, The Dream's on Me. I enjoyed Mr. Mercer's work. The DVD, Julia Child, The Way to Cook. So, yes, Julia's getting on. I don't know if these are in color or the ones that are in black and white.
Mm-hmm.
I assume these are her solo show, not the ones that we see on HD3, where right. she's hanging out with the French guy.
Where someone else is cooking and she's just standing there and watching.
Right.
I like those, too.
Yeah, well, she's good. She was feisty up until the very end. Yeah. So, let's see. What else we have? And I think Runaway? Not the Tom Selleck movie. Really? Anyway. Oh, and World's Greatest Dad, starring Robin Williams and directed by Bobcat Goldthwait.
Oh, my.
Also on DVD and Blu-ray.
Is that good? I've never even
you
heard
know
of that.
It's got a very limited... I don't think we even got it. Mm-hmm. But I heard Bobcat interviewed on another morning show somewhere else. And, well, it's right up there with his... Basically, Williams plays a dad whose son... commits suicide.
Oh, my.
And the dad starts writing letters as if he discovered letters from his son.
So this is a serious movie.
No, it's a dark comedy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just like Bobcat's last film, which was a love story about a woman and a dog.
Hmm.
Yes, he made a romantic comedy about bestiality.
I think we have to remember how great Bobcat Goldthwait is in the Bill Murray film, Scrooge.
Oh, Scrooge. Yeah, he's very good as Bob Cratchit in Scrooge.
Love that.
And let's never forget Shakes the Clown, the Citizen Kane of clown movies, that's I think is what he said. So, yes.
Good stuff.
Yeah, Nikki Fox, not bad. But no, he's you know what? I hearing his interview on other station, he's still funny.
Oh yeah, still funny. I think those comedians who were kind of big in the 80s and 90s and then maybe faded a little, you still can't deny their intelligence and their
except Pauly Shore.
Well, you have a point there. You. But even so, those I don't know, you can understand why they became so famous and well known because they're funny and interesting.
And Bobcat even said, the guy still makes fun of his movies. The guy makes fun of Hot to Trot, and really it deserves it, and rightly so, and Burglar and all the police lobotomy movies. His words, not mine.
I have a piece of trivia about Scrooge, if you'd like to hear it.
I would, you know what? It's December. I would love to hear some Scrooge trivia from my producer, Melissa.
You know
Davis.
What I've heard, that who is supposed to play the Bobcat Goldthwait part in Scrooged?
Robert Mitchum.
Sam Kinison was supposed to play it. So apparently Sam Kinison and Bobcat Goldthwait had a big falling out and a rivalry because Sam Kinison was supposed to have that crazy part, which would have been hilarious. But I think Bobcat did a good job. I mean, he did an amazing job with it. But isn't that interesting to think what parts could have went to
who? And you know what? We should write that. You know what? Start jotting those down. Let's make a show about that.
Okay.
I would say, was Mr. Kinison's off-screen habits maybe
I
getting
think
in
that
the way.
Was the problem. Yeah.
Well, let's put
it
this way: Bobcat can still tell the tale.
Yeah, I think there was an instance where he couldn't get it. I don't know if this is exactly what happened, but an insurance thing or something. I don't know.
Sure.
But we have to remember, Sam Kinison was killed by a drunk driver. He was not. He was totally stone cold sober at that time.
Okay. No, fairly noted. But I also remember seeing him. Was it my junior year at Ball State? And he sounded. Vocally, it was just...
But he cleaned up. That's why it was
so
sad.
Like a Stevie Ray Vaughan thing.
He cleaned up, and he was on the right track, and then something just totally unrelated.
But. Yow. So, okay. Well, you know, because of this, thank you for your Scrooge trivia, but now we have to, maybe in January, we'll do the what could have been list. I like that. So,
All right,
we'll take a short break, and we were going to discuss, spend the rest of the hour with sports movies. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org.
Naptown is nowhere near as sleepy as it sounds.
I say fooey to those who say there's nothing to do in Indianapolis, and we bring it to you on the IndianapolisMusic.net podcast every week. It's a feature of our top 10 shows, as voted on by music journalists across the city, and our on-track artist, featuring a local recording each and every week right here on the IndianapolisMusic.net podcast and WFYI HD2 Thursdays at 4 p.m.
And welcome back to Film Sociology. I'm your host, Matthew Sosi, along with my producer, Melissa Davis. And yes, there is yet another book, this time about sports movies. It's called The Ultimate Book of Sports Movies, featuring the 100 greatest sports films of all time. It has a foreword by Gene Hackman. It is written by Ray Didinger and Glenn Mankow, not the loudmouth from Chicago.
Good.
Wow, I'm glad to know where you, that's where you draw the line. So, Howard, yes, Mancow.
Howard is intelligent, and that's the secret that people don't know. Howard is intelligent and actually has amazing talent. Mancow is a blowhard. There's a difference.
Okay.
Stern fan knows.
Okay, all right. You and that's
pass
you.
The misogyny when she gets past all the
if you can
crap.
You know what? If you can survive the room, I think you can survive Howard.
Yeah, definitely.
You do. Anyway, so I went on and I asked some people, what are your favorite sports movies? So we have quite a few responses in here. Michael responded, Hoosiers, of course. Not necessarily a course, but it is a very good one. It's an excellent one. Richard from Michigan. Rudy is a great football film. It shows that by perseverance and hard work, even a little guy might be able to play college football and at Notre Dame when they were winning.
Rudy is excellent.
True story, like recall.
That's a great film. And it's shot so pretty.
It is shot. Yeah. It is shot very well. And
it shows Notre Dame in such a great way.
This is hard for me because I don't care for Notre Dame football. It's a good film, though.
Oh,
it's a good film. I still think Hoosiers is a better film by the same group. But that is a very satisfying tackle.
It's got a special place in my heart because they were doing casting for it like when I was in high school. So I actually knew of some kids that were in it. So it was like, whoa.
Okay.
But it's a sweet film.
It is a sweet film. Doug from Chicago says, The Freshman, 1925. Harold Lloyd stars in the prototypical Win the Game, Win the Girl story, and since it's a comedy, plenty of 1920s inept football comedy ensues. No, it is not the Detroit Lions. Sorry. Oh, our old friend Megan McKinney writes, Megan, yep, The Natural. It's such a tearjerker, and it has everything. Robert Redford, Glenn Close, Kim Basinger, and, of course, Wilford Brimley. And as Glenn Close once said, she got nominated for standing up.
Nice.
Oh, we have another, Crystal Wicker, our meteorologist over at Channel 6.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Cool.
The second best-looking meteorologist at that station. Hi, Paul Poteet. Paul's my guy.
I was going to say, are you going to, yeah.
No, I'm kidding. Crystal is a very patient lady, just like my producer and my wife. I have to agree with Richard on Rudy. Nikki from Indianapolis writes Hoosiers because I'm, well, Hoosier and I love basketball. That's fine. George writes, is pool a sport? Then The Hustler.
Oh, yeah.
Great performances all around. Paul Newman defines cool in that movie. If not, then Pride of the Yankees. I'm getting weepy thinking about it. I cry every time Gary Cooper makes the speech. Another good sign, I hate the Yankees, but I'll watch Pride of the Yankees. I watched Pride of the Yankees after they won the World Series.
Oh.
Another blast from the past, our very own Jim Mueller here at WFYI, who once sat in your very spot.
Yeah.
Jim writes, has to be Grand Prix. Amazing racing action, James Garner, Vez Montan, directed by John Frankenheimer. Beautiful score by Maurice Jarre, and the incredible point of view camera work, I agree, from 1966. Heidi from Michigan, Invincible. I'm a sucker for true sports movies. I love Remember the Titans, too. Invincible was the one with Mark Wahlberg, who gets a job. He works in a bar and winds up on the team of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Hmm.
And Greg Kinnear plays Dick Vermeil and doesn't cry. Christina from Indianapolis writes, Friday Night Lights. Love the film, love the book, and what I've seen of the series. Really, really enjoy that as well. Victoria writes, Rudy. And so there you go. Do you have any?
I was thinking, okay, we're not talking about Field of Dreams.
You could bring up Field. Well, and then there's the whole discussion on what sports movie does it have to be about winning the big game, blah, blah, blah,
well,
blah.
Well, Field of Dreams, and then, Rosie O'Donnell, Madonna.
League of Their Own. League of Their Own's really good.
Yeah.
See, some of the ones they've, of course, put in here that we mentioned, Field of Dreams, Bull Durham. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed Bull Durham, despite Tim Robbins' throwing ability. It does have Susan Sarandon. Raging Bull, which is arguably my favorite film. If not, it's right up there. Great film about boxing. The first Rocky, some people would say 4, and some people would say 3, and 5 never happened. So those are pretty good. Slapshot. I still love Slapshot. The best film about hockey, and I think one of the best films about sports, because that film was made almost 35 years ago, and it still holds up as far as its message. All right, next week, birthday stuff, and more Christmas movies. So, on behalf of Emma Sosi and Melissa Davis, hi, Melissa. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz!
has spoken.